Time to go home for a Tuesday. It's the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch, and we've got you connected with us on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Big hour on the way, including a discussion with Matt Bowdens. He got the game winner on a rebound in front for the Comets last night in overtime, and that was the deciding margin as the Comets defeated the Wichita Thunder 4-3 out at the Memorial Coliseum. The Jungle was rocking for the deciding game last night. Now the Comets advance into the conference finals, where they'll take on the team with the top seed, the Allen Americans. Now, what's interesting about this is the Comets, for the second consecutive series, are going to go in with the worst record, but they will have home ice advantage because you play two in the opponent's building, and then you play the remaining games at home. And so the Comets, in the series against Wichita, were able to get a split in those first two games, which means the Comets had home ice for three games with a best of three, and they ended up winning two of the three. Now they'll have a similar situation against Allen, who will have the first two games down in the Dallas suburb, and then the teams will travel on Sunday before playing on Monday on Coliseum ice, Tuesday on Coliseum ice if necessary, and Wednesday on Coliseum ice if a deciding game is needed between Allen and Fort Wayne. Now, Allen was a team that looked like they were probably going to be locked into that two spot. Then all of a sudden, they got hot. They beat Wichita in a head-to-head meeting in the last week of the season, and that was enough to put Allen into the top seed, and probably no team hotter right now than Allen. And as you heard with Coach Ben Boudreau earlier in the program, this is a team that's got a lot of playoff experience, a coach that knows how to win in the playoffs and rarely gets denied a championship. Four consecutive AA championships as a coach. And so this is going to be a very tough test for the Comets. But I like this group. And you know, we talked about this yesterday, that the Comets put together a veteran group, a lot of experience. They've got guys that have played for Allen. They've got guys that have played for Toledo, teams that have had success in the postseason. And so they can take that with them into a game like last night. And every time the Comets scored, Wichita answered, but the Comets did not melt. They actually never trailed in the game last night, ended up winning it 4-3. And so on the bus they go tomorrow. So they're traveling on Wednesday to get down to Dallas. Then they'll have a day off. Well, I'm sure on Thursday they will practice somewhere in Allen. And then they will be ready for game day. But they're traveling. I thought they would travel on Thursday. I thought they would take a couple of day break, maybe practice at home. But they're going to travel by bus on Wednesday, get down there, be ready on Friday. And the series opens Friday night. Shane Alberani has the call, and of course, all the games in the series can be heard on our sister station, 1190 WoWo and 107.5 FM. But that was a thriller last night, went into overtime, and do you have the audio from last night's game? Do you have it ready to go, Caleb? Because I know last night Shane was on the edge of his seat. I mean, there is so much, you get so emotionally connected with the team and hoping that this team wins, that sometimes you can't contain yourself when it actually happens as the play-by-play broadcaster. Shane, just a little excited to see this Matthew Bowden's rebound goal go in overtime to win it for the Comets.
Harper now with another go on the faceoff with Dorowitz. Wins it back to Siebenhaller. Siebenhaller with a shot in front, back in. Score! 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 The Comets are going to the conference final! 4-3 in overtime!
Oh, Shane Alberani loving the moment at the Coliseum with all the other crazies in the jungle as the Comets get the victory last night. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Make your picks for the Comets Allen series, 46862. All right now it's time to play a little game that we like to play on Tuesdays called Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. That means you need to call if you'd like to play. And all you do is call us at 447-8500. We're looking for a contestant right now who wants to challenge me for a chance to win a large pizza from Pizza Hut. It's a large card, good for a large pizza at any of your hometown Pizza Hut restaurants. And if you'd like to play, just call us at 447-8500. That's 447-8500. 0-0 to play Time Capsule Trivia right now. Good luck. Call, and you could be our next contestant to win here on the Sports Rush. Had a chance to talk earlier with Anthony Contreras, TinCast Baseball on the road. They'll be playing Dayton tonight. And, of course, the call will come from John Nolan and Jack McMullen right here on the radio all week long. They will be broadcasting live from Parkview Field. But the games are going to be played in Dayton. It's, again, a situation of remote broadcasting. So we will bring you the play-by-play on the radio for Tin Caps Baseball versus the Dayton Dragons. This is a big series, too, because Dayton's in front of the Tin Caps in the standings, and so the Tin Caps can kind of cut into that margin by winning some games head-to-head against Dayton, and they'll send Ethan Elliott to the mound tonight, Matt Waldron tomorrow. Two really good starting pitchers for the Tin Caps going the next couple of days. All right, we have got someone on the line. We're ready to play. It's our favorite game on Tuesdays called Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Who do we have on the phone line ready to play?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Brian.
Hey, Brian. Okay, do you know how this game works?
I do, but how about you break it down for me anyway?
Here's the way it goes. We're going to break it down for Brian. It is Caleb Hatch with a list of events that all happened in the same calendar year. So we will get one clue at a time. We pick the year that we think that event happened, and if we do not get it right, he will give us another event from the same year, and we'll give it another shot. Eventually, we'll hopefully get enough events from that year that we'll be able to guess what the year is in today's edition of Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Got it?
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. Caleb, start us off.
It's time for Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia on the Sports Rush.
Give us that first event, Caleb. We are just fired up, and we are ready to roll.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I love the attitude. He's fired up about this. He's ready to beat me at this.
All right, event number one, Andy Roddick wins the U.S. Open.
Andy Roddick wins the U.S. Open. All right,
I'm going to pass on this one. What do you think it is, Brett?
Oh, look at that. He knows exactly what the option is, and he passes it off to me. Andy Roddick, I will say 2009. It's not 2009. See, that takes 1 year out of the possible correct answers.
It does. That sounds way too late to me. I'm going to go with 1999. Ooh.
All right, so we're 0 for 2, but that's okay. We've got 5 or 4 more clues, so we got 4 more events to get this right. Let's hear the second event.
All right, clue number 2, the largest crowd in NCAA men's basketball history watches Michigan State and Kentucky play.
Okay.
Largest crowd.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm going to pass, and I'm going to give you the first chance at this one.
Oh, okay. What was the sport again?
NCAA men's basketball.
Basketball. MSU in Kentucky. Let's go 2003.
He got it. Oh,
what?
My goodness. I don't even get a chance on the second clue, and Caleb almost fell out of his chair. Hey, I think it's the fastest we've ever had a correct answer.
I believe so.
All right.
Wow.
Put me in the record book.
Yeah, you're in the record book. Congratulations. You are a winner today. We've got the large pizza from Pizza Hut heading your way. Nice job. How did you end up with 2003?
You know, it was a pretty wild guess. I figured, with that U.S. Open one, Andy Roddick, early 2000s, late 90s was a good guess. So I just kind of stuck around there and got lucky.
Yeah, very good. Well, congratulations. Thanks for playing. And it's, you stay on the line so the Caleb can get some information from you, and we'll get that pizza headed your way.
Yeah, we'll do. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, thank you. And we'll play another edition of Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia coming up next week. Of course, I feel like we got cheated. I almost feel like we should play a whole nother edition today. Never had any idea that we were only going to get to our second event, that I was only going to have one guess, and I was obviously way off. Well, I had 2009. Wasn't the worst guess. It was 2003. But anyway, congratulations to our winner, and that means... Now we will go to next week for a Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia and play again. By the way, tomorrow we have got White Sox Wednesdays right here on the Sports Rush. They start tomorrow. It's a four-pack of White Sox tickets at Guarantee Rate Ballpark in Chicago. And we will have our tickets starting tomorrow for you to win. All you need to do is listen to the Sports Rush between 4 and 6. Listen for your cue to call in and win. And you could be a winner of a four-pack of tickets to see White Sox baseball from the Sports Rush and 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Wow. Well, we both are shocked on this one, Caleb. I mean, I had an idea that he was a little too low and that I was a little too high. So I did guess that it was kind of between his 1999 and my 2009, but I just didn't expect him to throw out the exact year. Kind of gave me no chance.
Do you want the other clues?
Yeah, let's go ahead, Caleb. I know you have prepared a whole list of clues, so you might as well go ahead and give them to us.
All right. The third clue is Bill Miller becomes the only player in MLB history to hit two grand slams in a single game from opposite sides of the plate. Clue four.
That actually, I think that would have been a better second clue and the third clue for Michigan State, Kentucky. But let's keep going.
The fourth clue, Sammy Sosa and Rafael Palmeiro hit their 500th career home runs.
That would have narrowed it down, definitely.
And then the last clue, Ohio State wins the BCS National Championship game over Miami in double overtime.
That would have made it, I mean, we would have been, let's put it this way,
we would have narrowed it down within a couple of years.
Yeah, we'd have had it by then. But, well, congratulations to our winner today. And we'll see what happens next week when we play another edition of Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Coming up next, we're going to jump on the phone line. We've got the winner, the guy who scored the game winner last night for the Comets in overtime. Matt Bowdens is going to join us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. It comes up right after this break on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. What a night at the Coliseum last night. Of course, everything was set up. You had the rarity of hosting a deciding game in a playoff series at the Coliseum, a Game 5, two good teams, and it did not disappoint. Overtime at the Coliseum, the Comets get the game winner, and last night's hero is joining us right now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, as Matt Bowden's got that game-winning goal. And first of all, Matt, congratulations on the series win.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was a hard-fought series, obviously. Wichita is a good team over there, so hats off to them. But nice to finish it off that way, especially in our building, and we're pretty excited to head to Allen.
I know that Shane was commenting quite a bit that you were taking some extra physical punishment a little bit. You were the guy in front of the net. I know they call it chirping. Were you doing any chirping, or was it just the fact that you were getting too close to the goalie? Because it seemed like a lot of times when the whistles blew, you were getting pushed around a little bit.
I mean, I think that's part of playoff hockey. I think when I'm talking out there, I'm engaged in the game, and that's what I want to bring in playoff hockey. So a little bit of energy for the boys, and I think we all had fun with it, but definitely nice to come on the winning side of it for sure.
Is that something that you either have in your game? I mean, when you're a talker and you like to kind of stir things up a little bit, say a few things maybe to the opponents, is that something where some guys do, some guys don't, but you can't be the other?
Yeah, I think some guys enjoy it out there. And some guys are pretty quiet out there. So it depends, I think, your style of play. But I know for myself, when I'm in the game, I'm chit-chatting out there and having fun. And I think that's when I'm playing my best.
And that's it's a lot of fun to watch, too, because we don't get to hear. I mean, I wish you guys had – well, maybe I don't wish because I don't know exactly what the chirping was. But it would be fun to be mic'd up. We might have to have a few bleeps in there, but it would be fun to be mic'd up and hear everything that's going on the ice. So take us through last night. Let's start with the actual game winner. First of all, you were playing with a couple of guys on a line that you hadn't always been paired up with, and Coach Boudreau said he made that decision. He wanted to bump you up. What was that like, kind of learning and playing with those guys?
Well, I think it's just how deep our roster is. I think every night it's kind of whoever's going is going to play. And I'm fortunate enough to spend most of that game with Harps and Viver. And fortunate enough at the end of that game, we talked about it might be an ugly one. You just have to get to the net. And I think both goalies, they were going to stop it if they could see it. So that was the big thing being preached on the bench and through the intermissions. And just fortunate enough that Siege got that through. And just sitting out front, and like I said, we talked, we knew it was going to be something greasy, something ugly, so it was definitely nice to get that one in our building, and I think we deserved that. We were pretty resilient throughout the evening with the lead changes, but we stuck with it, and that's kind of the group we have. And I know just talking in the locker room with teammates, no one wanted us, their season to end, so to be heading to Allen tomorrow, we're all pretty excited.
Talking to Matt Bowden, who had the game winner for the Comets last night in an overtime victory over the Wichita Thunder. You know, if you're going to play on a line with Vive and you're going to go to the front of the net, you're probably going to have to compete for space with Vive because he's also a guy that's going to camp out somewhere near the net. I thought that final play was kind of interesting. You actually got twisted around, had your back to the play, and it looks like you just looked over your left shoulder. There's the puck. You flipped it in the net. I mean, how did you, first of all, did you know the puck was loose or did you just by chance look over and see it?
I think when you're going to the net, you're just kind of trying to find that puck. I knew that off that faceoff play that Siege was just trying to get that to the net, and luckily it snuck through and honestly just turned the right way and the puck was sitting there and was able to get a stick on it. So it definitely wasn't anything set, but like I said, we talked about just getting to the net, playing with Fiverr. We said to Harps, we just said, get pucks to the net, and we'll drive the paint. So I'm glad it ended up working out.
And heck of a win. But let's go through this series, because you mentioned just how good Wichita was. And every time you had a punch, they had a counterpunch, whether it was by the game or even by the goal last night. What was the talk on the team as far as every time you seemed to get the upper hand and get that lead, they tied it up? What was the talk on the bench?
I think just staying positive, sticking with our game plan. I find sometimes you want to hit the panic button, but we have enough veterans in our locker room that we stayed composed, and I think that was huge because you're never too high, never too low, but with those lead changes, your emotions can sometimes get the best of you. But I think we did a good job of kind of just sticking with it and saying the way we're playing, it's going to work. And like we said, we talked about that all night, getting to the net, getting pucks there with traffic, and we ended up getting rewarded for it.
We always talk about what a difference it makes to have guys that have playoff experience that have been there and done that at this point in the season. And the Comets have that. They have some guys that have had success in the playoffs. Is that something that you can measure, that input or the value of having those types of guys? Is it something that's tangible or is it a complete intangible? It's just the way they play, the way they go about their business, the way it carries off on other players, or is it something they say or the way they lead? How do you measure the difference of having guys with experience at this point in the playoffs?
Yeah, like I said, it's important to have those guys that have been through those situations that can step up at those moments, say the right thing. And like I said, we have a locker room full of them. So one guy speak up, there's ears popping up, and their word goes a long way. So like I said, having those guys in the room on the bench to keep our composure, keep us all on the same page, I think that's really important. And I think when in a playoff series with the highs and lows, like you said, with lead changes, that's something that's crucial. So I think when they built this team, that was part of their goal, to bring in guys like that. So we're fortunate enough that we have enough of them that in games like that, you're able to kind of calm the nerves, and you're able to just stick through the process. And like I said, that was we figured it was going to end that way. We didn't know if it was going to be 60 minutes or 60 minutes plus, but we're glad that we were on the winning end, that's for sure.
Now it's on to Allen to take on the Americans. And, of course, Ben Boudreau said you got a couple of guys that are pretty familiar with what Allen does from their prior experience down in Texas, including a goalie that you just picked up recently. But, you know, the body and how you can bounce back physically. It's obviously been a demanding season, but the quick turnaround and the 5 games and 6 nights, the potential of that in this series. Have you ever played 5 games and 6 nights?
I think maybe looking back to last year's schedule, we might have had a stretch like similar to that. I don't know quite, but I think we've prepared ourselves for this all season, especially with playoff hockey. Obviously with the travel, but I think those are kind of just excuses within our team. We know what it takes to get here and what we put on the line, so I don't think we'll be worried about how many games and how many nights. But like you said, you just got to take care of your body, be smart, get your sleep when you can, and I know we'll be ready when it comes Friday night. Now,
is it easier to get rest when you're on the road? Or is it easier for you to get rest at home?
When you're I find in playoff time, you're just trying to get rest when you can. Get to the rink, take care of your bodies, and whether it's a little nap throughout the day or getting your sleep throughout the night, I think at this time, it doesn't matter where you are. You're going to try to get that sleep. Obviously, a little different environment on the road, but we get taken well care of, so. We should be all right.
You know, I always found it interesting when traveling with teams that sometimes it's actually easier when you're on the road. There is nothing else to do. You don't have to worry about anything besides rest and hockey, or if it's another sport, rest and basketball. And so you go down to Allen to start this series, the first 2 games down in Texas before traveling back for Game 3, which will be on Coliseum Ice on Monday. I want to get your thoughts on Dylan Ferguson. It's interesting this season, the Comets have had a rotation of goalies, but now you get to the playoffs and pretty much it's a one-man show, and he really stepped up, did a terrific job in this series.
Yeah, for sure. I think when you think of playoff success, no matter what level you're in, it's going to start from your back end. And he's been a rock back there. I know us as a team, we got a lot of confidence in him, and I think that can go a long way, especially in a playoff series. So he's been battling for us in that net, and we got a lot of faith in him. And I think, like I said, if you're going to have success, it starts him back there, and we rely on him. And I think when they, just in this Wichita series, when the times we did let our guard down and they were coming hard, he was able to hold the fort for us. So I think that's huge, and it'll be very important in this next series versus Allen and in the further rounds.
Well, we know it's a challenging series ahead. Conference finals against Allen starting on Friday. Hey, best of luck. Enjoy the trip as much as you can on that bus getting down there, but appreciate you joining us, and congrats again on a terrific goal and a terrific overtime win last night.
Thank you so much. We're looking forward to getting down there, and hopefully see you Monday at the Coliseum up a few.
We hope so. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Matt Bowden's joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Last night's game winner in overtime for the Comets, as the Comets defeated Wichita in 5 games, just a 5-game series. Final score last night was 4-3. Now, as we've talked about, the Comets will play Allen in Allen, Friday and Saturday, Sunday a travel day, and then on Monday, Game 3, we know that will happen. Game 4 and Game 5 will be if necessary, but those games will be in succession. Monday, Game 3, Tuesday, Game 4, Wednesday, Game 5, and this series will be decided between Allen and Fort Wayne. But good to chat with Matt Bowdens, who scored last night's game winner for the Comets. We'll take a timeout. We're going to come back. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We were talking today. I told you I had a little lunch out at the Clyde, and we were talking today that it's very interesting, all of the sports we've got coming this fall that will be right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Of course, we're continuing with White Sox baseball. Then coming up as we get into the fall, we're going to have not only the end of the tin cap season, you've got high school football that will get started in August. You've got college football. We're going to have Indiana football and basketball on our sister station, Big 92.3. But we will have the coaches' shows right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. So we are your home for Indiana football and basketball all season long. We've got Notre Dame football coming up this fall at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. And if that's not enough, we've got Purdue football and basketball coming to 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM, and Purdue Fort Wayne basketball over the winter. And so I started to think of all the great sports we've got, and I'm like, how do we do it? How do we get all these sports onto just one sports station? It's amazing. And then on Sundays, what do we have to cap it off? We have Colts football with Matt Taylor. And is Rick Venturi doing the games again this year as analyst? I'm not sure if he's working with Matt Taylor again this year, but Colts football on the radio coming again this fall. So you've got Notre Dame football, Purdue football, and Colts football every weekend on 1380 The Fan. You've got high school football that will start it off on Friday night. And then on Saturday on our sister station, Big 92.3, we've got IU, and of course, the job that Tom Allen is doing with the Indiana football program. It's amazing how, I mean, right now, Indiana fans would love to see the basketball program take the same strides and steps the football program has taken. Because right now, the football program actually is reaching levels of national relevance. And boy, we never thought we'd say that this quickly, especially under Tom Allen. And I've got to be honest, Caleb, when Tom Allen was hired, I thought it was way too risky of a hire. I thought we were getting, and to kind of create an analogy here, I thought we were getting a Nate Bjorkman. I thought it was the guy's got a lot of potential, progressive coach, IU guy, Indiana guy, rah-rah, cheerleader, but is he going to be able to get the X and O's? Is it going to wear out? Because, you know, you can cheer a program on and talk about great things and all, but if you're not proving it with the product, it will kind of fizz out and your cheers will be on deaf ears. But the guy has proven it. He's proven it with the way the culture has changed, with the way the team has played. The thing that's impressive, too, is his assistant coaches and the quality job that they have done. And now he's recruiting kids that... four and even five star that even have Indiana on their map. And that's the unbelievable thing of what Tom Allen has done in raising the profile of Indiana football. And, a lot of the national writers are starting to make comparisons as far as what Mike Woodson is doing with basketball, because all of a sudden Indiana is getting interest from five star guys and guys that maybe wouldn't have had Indiana in their final list of 5 to 10 schools, and now Indiana is getting more mentions from some of these top recruits. It's a great time to be an Indiana fan, and it's a great time to have Indiana on the radio, and we've got them, 92.3, Big 92.3. And, of course, you'll hear football every Saturday, basketball as scheduled with Don Fisher. And, of course, coaches' shows, starting with Tom Allen's coaches' show in the fall, and then Mike Woodson's coaches' show, with both of them with the great Don Fisher, coming up on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. But that is a lot of sports to fit into one radio station schedule. We are going to be packed. And, of course, if you have a team and you'd like to sponsor a team, and get your name mentioned and get your name heard when in association with Colts fans or IU fans, Purdue fans, Notre Dame football fans. We've got great opportunities right now. In fact, we've got some special sponsorship packages available for this fall still, and it's very limited. We don't have a lot of space in any of these games, but we are ready for your call. All you have to do is get a hold of us at the radio station at 447-5511. Worst thing is you end up with a meeting with me. And the best thing is You find out just how affordable it can be to be a sponsor of your favorite sport, your favorite team, right here on the radio. So give us a call, 447-5511, 447-5511, here at Federated Media, to sponsor our football coverage coming up this fall. White Sox baseball, we've got that coming up tonight after the Tin Caps get finished. Of course, the White Sox take on the Rays, game two of their series. White Sox lost last night. In fact, it wasn't a good night for Chicago all around. And apparently a texter believes that somehow what we said here in Fort Wayne on this radio station yesterday jinxed the Cubs last night, because the only runs they got were back-to-back home runs from Anthony Rizzo and Patrick Wisdom, and they ended up losing game one of their series to the New York Mets. But the Mets have been playing well, and not our fault. Don't blame us. White Sox lost last night. We barely talked about the White Sox yesterday. So see, it's not just us. White Sox will try again against the Tampa Bay Rays. That will be an 8:10 first pitch. We'll join it in progress after Tin Caps baseball tonight. The Tin Caps take on Dayton in game one of their six-game series. 6:45, the pregame show with John Nolan and Jack McMullen on the call. And John and Jack jumping back together on the radio side after John was away this past weekend. Had somebody send me a direct message asking why they didn't hear me on the radio this weekend, and that was why, because John went to a wedding, and so he spent a weekend out on the East Coast, and so I jumped over to the TV side, and Mike Moss then did the radio game solo over the weekend. But I did have somebody ask, where was I? And they thought, you know, one weekend in, and I've already been canned. It's like, no, I could probably, I'm capable of that, but it didn't happen this time. So, 447, what are we going to take calls now? It's like, wait a minute, am I just getting tired? I know it's been a busy day, but, you know, let's go ahead and take callers.
Caller number nine.
No, we're not doing a giveaway, Caleb. Let's not confuse anybody with the caller number nine. Let's, it's like I was ready to take callers. You know, go ahead and call us up at 447-8500 and weigh in on your sports topic of the day. Oh, that is such high risk. Unless you have like some really powerful breaking story that is polarizing, where there's really strong differences of opinion, it's kind of tough in sports radio, sports talk radio, to just randomly open up the phone lines and tell me, what's on your mind today? Francesa made a career of it, though.
I'm not a fan of it, like personally, but... I mean,
Mike Francesa did 5 hours of sports talk radio a day in New York.
That's just insane.
I mean, the only way you do it is if you just sit there and start answering phone calls, and you have a city that has, what, 20 million people or whatever it is in New York. I did it again. Man, oh, man, we need to get a break. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. I feel bad, too, because I met somebody today. And I told him, I said, yes, I've got a sports show on 1380 The Fan. And he says, I might have listened. He goes, I don't know. I don't listen to AM radio that much. I said, well, you're going to have to listen to radio today. You're going to have to listen to 1380 today. You're going to have to turn into the show. I'm going to be on from 4 to 6. He promised me he's going to listen. And now the way I'm botching this segment right now, I don't think he'll ever listen again. He's going to judge 5 years of this program on the 2 minutes that I couldn't speak. Caleb, could you at least say that it's never happened before? This is a real rarity on this program.
In my limited involvement, this has not happened.
Just 447-8500. Go ahead and give us a call. Tell me what's on your mind. Phone line's now open at 447-8500. No, don't do it. All right, so tomorrow we've got special giveaway. White Sox Wednesday coming up tomorrow. And we've got a 4-pack of tickets for the White Sox. What tickets do we have? Do we know what tickets we have available tomorrow? I don't even know what tickets we're giving away.
You mean the White Sox tickets?
Yes, we have White Sox tickets coming up tomorrow in our White Sox Wednesday that we have every week now here on the Sports Rush. We're going to give a 4-pack of tickets away to White Sox baseball, Guaranteed Rate Ballpark in Chicago. Kind of interesting. On your way to Wrigley, you do go right by Guarantee Rate Field. I know we've got We've got tickets this week, next week, I think the week after.
Ooh, this is not just a four-pack of White Sox tickets.
Oh.
This also includes a parking pass.
Wow.
Which is actually
value.
Really nice.
That's value right there. That's like getting a fifth ticket.
That's the detail that I have on our little promotion page. So this is for the game on June 25th against the Seattle Mariners.
And so that would be a week from Friday.
Yes.
So it's a Friday night game?
Yes.
Friday night, June 25th against the Mariners. And we've got your four-pack of White Sox tickets plus the parking pass. And we'll give those away on our White Sox Wednesday coming up tomorrow here on the Sports Rush. We will take a timeout. I'm going to do some tongue exercises, try to get things back on track, and we'll finish up this show. It's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. I don't know if you saw this, but the match, the big golf match with Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers had a press conference earlier today. Aaron Rodgers showed up. It was a Zoom press conference, and Rodgers showed up with a T-shirt on that said, quote, "I'm offended" on the front of the T-shirt. And it's, you know, it's amazing the subtleties going back and forth between the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Nothing's going to get settled if they continue to argue like children. Mark Murphy, again, said something that, you know, first of all, he says both sides staying quiet is the best thing. And then Mark Murphy comes out and says that Aaron Rodgers is, quote, complicated. And now Aaron Rodgers wearing the shirt that says, "I'm offended." I mean, these two are playing this back and forth game. I just don't know what the end result is going to be. I still don't understand if Aaron Rodgers is willing to ride this completely out and not go back to Green Bay. I keep thinking, oh, he'll play his games here in the offseason, but eventually, when it comes time to start camp, Aaron Rodgers will show up when Aaron Rodgers wants to show up, just because Aaron Rodgers wants to have the power and the control in this situation. And there's some ways I don't blame the way Aaron Rodgers feels. I don't think he's going about it the right way. My personal feeling is if you have a contract and your employer expects something to be done to perform that contract, you should probably honor it. It doesn't mean you're happy with all the things your employer does. Everybody gets upset with situations that happen at work. But I don't like the whole idea of holding out, holding an organization hostage. I'm not a big fan of that. I'd like to see this all get resolved. And if it needs to be resolved by making a trade, then I think Green Bay should make the trade. If Aaron Rodgers is going to commit to Green Bay, I wish we would stop playing these games back and forth and just say, "I'm very unhappy. I think I've got their attention. I think both sides have maybe made mistakes over the last few months. I'm looking forward to reporting to camp, and I'll be there on time," and kind of proceed from there. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Sixers lost last night. Of course, the Clippers evened up their series with Utah. And coming up tonight, NBA action in the NBA playoffs as they get back out to the court. And it's going to be the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. And I guess the question is, Harden in, Harden out? It sounds like he's going to try to play tonight for Brooklyn. So you get Durant with Harden. I think Brooklyn at home, that will be enough. I think the Nets take the 3-2 lead over the Milwaukee Bucks. Thanks to our guests that appeared on the show, Anthony Contreras, TinCast manager, Ben Boudreau, Comets coach, and Matt Bowdens from the Comets, who hit last night's game winner. We're back tomorrow. We'll talk to you then on the Sports Rush.
Podcasts by Federated Media.